church you're reading this morning has come from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 through 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 through 31. Now, you know the body of Christ and Jews in particular. God has sent some in the church, first the apostles, secondary the prophets, partly teachers, and then miracles, then gifts of healing, gifts, wonders, mercies, and tongues. All apostles, all prophets, all teachers, are all workers of miracles. Have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. But come and earnestly with this gifts, and yet shall I unto you in more excellent way. To a place you could be that's better than out here, worshiping God, reading part of our Bible classes this morning. We're just thankful that you're here. We want to have guests with us. We're very thankful that we have ministers. And we're always happy for you folks to come our way. We really mean that. And we're ready to come back. I want to be encouraging if you haven't already passed the clipboards down here in the room. And everybody would sign that. We love our record. Everybody's attendance. One of our guests and our members, you'll take time to do that. We sure would appreciate it. Now, what we're going on right now, as you know, and if you're visiting us, we'll update you on some of those things. We are in the middle, not quite in the middle, we're progressing through 29 days of missions here in the month of February. And this past week, we've had daily prayers for all of our missionaries, and I hope that you were able to do that and be a part of that with your family. And this week, we're trying to find out more about our missionaries. And we're going to locate them in the world and find out what area they live in and their culture and all those things. And we have maps back here on the table in the back if you'd like to pick one up. Or you can simply use a map that you have at home or at home. And what we're going to encourage you this week is find where our missionaries are in the world or where they are working. If you go back and forth. And that way, you're more familiar with the area, the culture, what you look those things up. You know, they got this new thing called Google. My father-in-law loves that kind of stuff, you know. And he went into McDonald's one day, and he walked up to the counter and had a little sign that was advertising something free. He said, oh, he said,
Thank you.
our grasp throughout this month as well. One of the kind of God's job of our focus on missions is all of us finding our place in the Lord. And as we look at the scripture reading today, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 to the end of the chapter, you find there that Paul is talking about people that have been blessed with different gifts. And he's talking about the day and time of the church where they offer up their gifts. I understand that, because if you read the chapter before and leading up to the chapters after, you found that they were talking about certain spiritual gifts, and many of those were miraculous gifts, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, all those things that 1 Corinthians 13 talked about are going to cease one day, and it's obviously a weird account where those tongues have ceased, but at the same time, the principle is there about using your talents and abilities to praise God and further His kingdom. And here you find that in our text today, you see a couple of main things when it comes to finding your place in the world. The first thing is, you represent Jesus here on this earth. Now, when we think about that, we think about our example. We think about how we conduct ourselves when we go out in public in our communities. And that is part of it. We represent Jesus. Again, we have to understand that, especially in this context, in 1 Corinthians 12, that we represent Jesus in function. That is the fact that we have the hands and feet of Jesus here on this earth in a very practical way today. But that we must function as Jesus would, as if He were here today, we should be doing about doing what He would be doing. And so, if you think about representing Jesus, open to this CPA, verse 27 of our text. Where Paul says to the church, you are the body of Christ. Many times we run over scriptures like that, and we run on to the next verse, but just let that sink in for a moment. You and I are the body of Christ. He didn't say, you are kind of like the body of Christ, or you are some sort of representation of the body of Christ. He says, you, in a real sense, are the body of Christ. And we're made up of many different members. And so when we think about us being the body, that ought to be sobering to each one of us. The fact that we do represent Jesus, that we are His body while we're here. And when you think about doing that, we think about function above just example. Examples of political function is really what we're looking at when talking about the place. In Romans chapter 12, it tells us that the mirror image of 1 Corinthians 12, both of them are in chapter 12, they talk about the body. We were 2,000 down, but it's a long time years ago, that that soap was for over 2,000 parts. And I always wondered, how big is this in that town? You know, we haven't really taken out the soap. I think it's weird to know they're saying, the soap was for all of them. And when I think about what the scriptures say, I think of 12, I think of Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the body. And let me help you remember that when you go to the scriptures. But look at verses 4 and 5 of Romans 12. So they talk here. It says, for we as many members are one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ, but individually members of one another. And so we have to look at ourselves as a body that's made up of many different members. But if you go on the same here in this chapter, and I'm talking about this tomorrow, that all the members don't have the same function. But they all complement one another in the function that they have been given in the body. Now, when you think about us representing the body, when you think about the function standpoint, you have to understand that that means that we ought to be doing something. That just like our bodies do things together, that we, like we say this year together, we're going to function as a body. That we are going to do our part and do what we need to do in the body to keep on the work and function properly. So we represent His body. You know, I remember here a couple years ago, John Raspberry, our father is still in town, and John is off in Texas now. Johnny is a representative for our region director for his business of selling medical or surgical supplies. And they are here to give out in Dallas, you for this big range of Texas and Arizona and those areas out there. And I remember talking to Charlie Summerfield when I was there, moved out there. And I asked him, I said, what's the first thing you got to do? He said, well, the first thing, the hardest thing I've got to do. He said, I've got to go to all of these different locations where we have representatives with their own reps, and with all the reps, and evaluate them. They said, unfortunately, there are several of them that are selling reps that aren't selling anything. He said, I'm going to have to go viral. And two or three of them, he had to let go on his first night on the job. Why was it? He had to let them go. They were reps, they were representing the company, but they weren't doing anything, really. They were doing some things, but they weren't doing their job. And so he had to let them go. And he had to hire somebody that wanted to do the job for them. And so I think that we are hiring and hiring people in the church, but what we're talking about is the fact that we can't just wear the name Christian and not function as a Christian. That it's not just good enough to say, well, I'm a member of the Holy Church without actually functioning as a member of the body of Christ. And so that's how we represent Jesus. In other words, if we're not doing what Jesus would be doing, then in Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says that Jesus would have been doing good to the other. He would have been healing and helping others. But it's almost a one sentence commentary on the life of Jesus. Here Luke says, in Acts 10, as he records that, Jesus would have been doing good. He was actually doing that. And that's what we need to be doing as his body, because that's what he would be doing now as a representative. So, if we do nothing, then nothing is accomplished that Jesus would do. But I don't want to keep that in mind. You know, if we're not putting anything in the Lord's church, then I'm not necessarily talking about in worship service. I'm just talking about for the kingdom itself at this place. If we're not doing anything, we're all apart, if we don't function in some way to further that kingdom, then nothing is getting done. And that's not what Jesus would be doing. He would not be sitting back like the other people doing his work. And so, when we think about that from our standpoint, we have to make sure that we understand what it is all going to do. And it's not about working our way together, because we never could in the first place. It's about doing what we were purposed to be doing here as part of his body, as his representative in his body. And so, first of all, in our text, we see the reality, the sober reality, that we represent Jesus, that we are the body. But then the second thing is the fact that we all have a gift. And we look at that in this text, and now we're there in Romans chapter 12 as well. And notice what he says in verse 6 and following. He says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy according to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it for our ministry. And to teaches and teaching, and to exhort and exhortation, and to gifts with liberality, and to leads with diligence, and to shows mercy with cheerfulness. He just talks about several of the functions of the church there. And then if you go backward, he'll say there are certain gifts that people can give it. Whether it is leadership or exhortation or giving or teaching, these are that. He says these are gifts that people can give it. And notice if you go backward, in the text, verse 6 says, let us use them. I got that underlined in my Bible. Let me encourage you to say, let us use them. It's not enough just to be gifted. There are a lot of talented people that I know in the church. People that have great ability, great talents. But is it a waste if we don't use them for what God put us here for? There are people that have great ability that they use in their jobs, but that will not use the kingdom of God. And let me ask you, what's more important? God's kingdom or a temporary job that you're going to be working for a few short years here on this earth? So maybe they're doing their best with whatever we do, but let's not neglect the kingdom while we're making a great living for our family here on earth. Let's use our talents and our abilities in the kingdom first and foremost. It's like it says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now that's where our focus ought to be, is using our talents and our abilities in that way. And if you look at that, just notice this plain fact, very elementary. We all have gifts that God has given us. Everybody has an First Corinthians 12, it says the same thing about using our abilities to bring honor and glory to God. But then if you look at 1 Peter chapter 4, you also find that he really tells us what we ought to be doing with this as well. It says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, I'm going to tell you starting over until you get there. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of that own grace of God. So as each one has been given something as a talent or ability, he says, let's use it on one another. Let's use it on other people. That's really what serving is all about, is it not? And the kingdom is all about impacting the lives of others with our talents and our abilities. That we use those things to help others, to bring them closer to Jesus. I remember when I was saying that Christians are a lot like kids when it comes to gifts. They end up playing with the box more than they play with the gift that was in the box. And if you ever think about that for a moment, and I think about the kids when they were growing up, you know, think about that, you have this expensive toy and put all that in the box that it came in. I remember that. We are father box players, pregnant, defensive, and married. But it's not even like the point of, you know, just the simple stuff. And you know, we said, if we did it, we just got a box. Put a box or whatever, and it's expensive toy to get it. But I wonder if that's true of us. Do we tend to play with the box more than the gift? In other words, do we really use what God has given us, but we're going to use the box to say, hey, look at us. This is kind of the outside of it, and this is what we're focused on more so than what came in. And I think that's true of us. And so let's make sure that we use what we've given. You know, a lot of times, I find this to be the case, is some just really don't know what to do. They really don't know how to evaluate their abilities, and they just don't know how to get plugged in. I've seen people struggle with that. And what we say is, hey, it's just like anything else. Just go there. Let's see what else we can do. Like, let's try something. If it's not our thing, then let's not do it. You know, some looking for me. That's not my thing. You know, I relate to some to a degree. You can say that. At the same time, we all have the ability that God has given us. We have to find it. We have to make sure that we understand what that is in order to use it. And sometimes it's almost kind of hidden from us. But you think about it, when we teach seniors in ourselves, we're trying to encourage them to go on to college or do whatever they want to do in the future. So we'll ask them, what do you want to do? Half of the students we have over there say, well, I'm not real sure. I decided to go to college, I'm going to do a tour one day if I want to have. Some of them, they come to the school zone. I want to be a nurse, or I want to be a doctor, or I want to be this or that. I want to be a teacher, school, and they have it all laid out. It's kind of look down on those other ones that don't know exactly what they want to do yet. You know, and I've known folks, and I've used a couple of our folks here as examples. Somebody who got through 4 years of college and got a degree in something, get out in the world and start working that job and hate it. And say, well, that's really not what I want to do with my life. Don't stop. Doing that career, they're going to do something else. And so, that's kind of why we need to go about things in the church as far as finding our ability. The whole point is you've got to make an effort to find it. You've got to put yourself out there and see. Because there are people who never thought that they would be good teachers, and that are some of the best teachers we have. There are people who never thought that they could impact the lives of many people. But yet, they're the ones that really get in there and help their sleeves and help and ministry or whatever it is. And so it's about finding that place. And it's about the effort of putting yourself out there to be willing to try different things. I heard this story recently, and I thought this was very fitting of what we're talking about. There was a piano player in a restaurant. He was hired to play piano, beautiful piano player. He would sit there and play beautiful music, and matter of fact, many people that came to that restaurant would come just to hear this fellow play. One guy came in one night, and he was sitting over at the restaurant at the bar area. He was sitting over at the bar, and he said, "Hey, fella, I'm tired of this music. I want you to sing." And he kept playing, and he said, "I don't say that was Blake. But Blake, well, this guy, I kind of pressed him a little bit further. The fact is, a friend, the owner of the business there, and he said, hey, I want to hear this guy say. The guy that gave it to him said, I don't say. About that time, the owner said, if you want to be paid tonight, then you're going to say. The guy said, all right. And so he started playing and singing a song, and the song was the Mona Lisa. And the fellow that sang that night, as he played at midnight on the stage, was Nat King Cole. And went on to be one of the greatest entertainers of all. Because he didn't think he was a singer. He just thought he was a player. And all he needed was some encouragement. A lot of encouragement, actually. I went from one place to reach out something his boss to say, if you want to get paid tonight, you got to sing and play. And he did that, and that's where it went. He may have just been a piano player in a restaurant and never been in a better than it was unless somebody pushed him. So, folks, that's what we're here for today, is pushing. And I hope somebody's doing a little shout up there about getting involved in working more. Because that's all it takes me to understand it, but I've got to tell you, you've got some great ability that you have, that you didn't understand that you have. And if one of the things you do have, realize that it can be used in such great ways in God's kingdom. So let's make sure that we understand that we all have talent, we all need to use it. And we're going to be giving you seats at the end of the service today that are very similar to the ones that you filled out when you were in place membership here or became a Christian. We hope it is a little bit, but what we want to do is, I want you, everybody, to help one of those out again, including if you are involved in the Lord's work, and maybe if you want to sign up for something different. But we want to begin with that. A lot of times we'll just put out a sheet like that, and that's about it. But we want to start there and see how many folks we can plug in. And then we want to offer you something next week that's brainstorming ideas of how to get involved in the kingdom of God. We're going to take it one step to another until, hopefully, and if it's up to you, we'll have as close to 100% involvement here as we can have. But that doesn't come back to you if your willingness to be involved. We want to do all that we can from the church's standpoint for facilitating that. But it's up to you to step up and say, you're about to send me, tell me, I'll say it again tomorrow. And so we need to make sure that we're ready to step into that. Now, when you think about that, when you think about just the common sense of what the Bible says, it talks in several different places about why we ought to be using our gifts. James chapter 2 is one of those, verses 14 through 17. Here James just simply says, if a brother or sister is in here, they've been clothed, and you say to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled. Or, in our own language in the South, if you need it, then give me a call. If you have a brother or sister who's in need, if you just simply speak kind words to them, what profit has it to them? Have you increased their needs? Have you helped them in any way? And it's rhetorically said, no, you haven't. He says, even so, back to the best out of words, it is a dead faith. And so the question we're learning is, if we claim to have faith and we don't really do anything with it, then we're really not having a live, a vibrant faith. We have a dead faith according to them. So we need to make meetings around us. There's the purpose behind it. It's not just to be saying we're involved or we're doing something. We're actually doing something meaningful, something that really matters. In Matthew 25, I have to come back to this every time, folks. I know that that's one of my favorite chapters to bring up. But it's so great to me, and I hope it is to you as well. Matthew 25, when Jesus takes the victim of the judgment sin for us, what is it that he's going to ask about? What is it that's on the top of this people say? I was hungry and you feed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick. In prison, you visited me. I was to get those things that better baptize and judge your faith. Those who did not do those things did not find you. can't make the difference in heaven or hell for everybody, according to what Jesus said there. But how much by the way, was not the ancient gift of hell. It was the simple involvement in the local work of helping others, of being involved in teaching others, being there for others, visiting, clothing people who are in need, and feeding people who are in need. All those things were part of the Jesus and the only one that Jesus really gave us. And so that tells me that these things that we're talking about are very important when it comes to us as a church, but especially as individual Christians, because I'm going to be held accountable for what I've done before God's blessing me. Not only really shared it with others, you know, really burned in the kingdom because I've used my abilities and my resources, not just abilities, but if they've been the only ability you have is to have your hand open like this for somebody else. It doesn't take great ability on your part, it takes great obedience on your part to let God use you as his hand to feed. And that's a lot of times what we tell the goodness. We've got our own agenda and our own schedule, and we don't have time to let God use us. And so this is a matter of looking at it from the judgment scene and thinking, am I really living that type of life to where I can hear well done, good, faithful servant? I've told you this before, I'll say it again. God will not call you what you are not from that day. If you are here well done and good, good and faithful servant, he's not going to call you a faithful servant if you're not serving. He can't. And so, therefore, let's all serve. Let's all get involved. Let's find our place in some way to get involved in the Lord's work. Very quickly, I'm going to give you a quick advertisement for some of the things here. This is not exhaustive in any way. I want you to listen real close, okay? But it comes to what you can do. There are sheets that you want to fill out, but just listen to this. And I'm going to give you some of the people I've talked to here recently. Red McGee takes care of our pantry over here, feeding those who are in need of food locally, and he always says he needs help with that. It doesn't take great amount of time or great effort, but Red McGee used to help into that ministry. God bless. He heads up a World Bible School. If you want to get involved in teaching efforts, but maybe you don't know how to sit there one on one, you can get involved in World Bible School. Teach people all over the world through the mail. And so many of our members are already doing that. But if you want to do that, you can get it from your home, and you can make an impact in this world with the gospel. So, see you right here, Kyle Butt. And Jason Allen for local evangelism. And there are so many different events that we have planned, like First Fridays, handing out material. And Jason struggles a lot of times to get volunteers to go and hand out material. It doesn't take a couple of hours of your time spent out there and meet people in our community and hand them material. What better way to get involved in the Lord's work and be out in the public and be a representative for Jesus in that way? She's involved in the ladies' jail ministry. And she goes to the jail and she teaches these ladies. And we have never baptized them in Christ. And he said, there's always need for more ladies to come with him. You can just be a helper and learn more about it. It's not going. And so, if you're interested in thinking of it, when you think about learning the event, we've been asking all the folks in this area, that's how you can set up, and there's a great job for that. But you know, it gets pretty worn out because we have enough help to sustain that every week. And so, many of you, have stepped up and made meals and spent the night here, and we appreciate that. Many more of us could do that. And so, this is just a little advertisement for our teachers, those who are board members of different age groups. In advance, are always looking for teachers, always needing teachers' assistance. Again, everyone can step up and send somebody to help. Find the world's last leaders. There's so many different ways. But let's focus, first of all, this way, on what's already available right here at Stony Point. Before we bring the store and graduate from there, there's so many different areas where we have holes where we need to fill with people who will step up and do good things here. That's, again, just a little snippet of it. I could go on and on about different areas in which we can use people here. And so the whole point is, individually and collectively, here's the body of Christ, wherever Thank you.